Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
One of the latest developments in the ongoing controversy over a proposed Islamic cultural center and mosque in Lower Manhattan is an idea introduced by New York Governor David Paterson. How about a different location? He joins us now. Governor Paterson, why are you appealing to the backers of the Islamic Cultural Center and Mosque to move to a different location?
Well, there are a number of ways that we might be able to suggest to the developers that would quell this situation, which is getting more and more out of hand every day. And so my suggestion was that one of those solutions might be to find an area that's in Lower Manhattan that serves the catchment area of the Muslim community that's growing, that they would like to serve, and at the same time would not be so close to Ground Zero that it seems to offend many people that live there and many people that don't.
How possible do you think a compromise is at this point? Is it going to be 4 blocks, 6 blocks, 8 blocks?
I don't think I actually know the answer to that question. And what we would have to do is to dialogue on that kind of a point, which would be a lot better than the points we've been talking about over the last several weeks.
Well, now, some of the points we have been talking about, I can't help but think of New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who has been saying that this is a First Amendment right for people to be able to have a community center where they can worship. I'd like your reaction to that.
He's absolutely right. There is no federal, state, or local law, nor any clause of the Constitution that in any way would allow for there to be any hindrance. This is a private property. They own that property, and they have a clear right to put the mosque wherever they want. That's why my appeal comes to them, to have a dialogue about how we might be able to lessen the strain on the people who live in that area. And let's just remember, these are the victims of the attack on the country on September 11th, service delays that lasted years, transportation problems arising from added security, a trial that was going to be placed in that area where the resolution has never been reached as to whether or not the trial of the terrorists would happen in that situation, and people who lived and worked in the area for years promised that they were safe when we later found out that there were toxins in the air. Many of them got sick and many of them died, and no federal legislation to provide for help to the 9/11 workers.
I want to get back to those points in a minute, but first let me get to the constitutional issue, which has been raised by the Daily News and others. That what about the fact that maybe it's not constitutional for the state to give land to any sort of group that is religious in nature? How is this not muddying the line between church and state?
Because no one ever talked about giving them land. This is when outlets create a straw man and then knock it down. Those transactions have to be made at arm's length, but they wouldn't necessarily be difficult at all because they own the land that exists now. So there are land transfers, swaps. These types of situations are done all the time. As a matter of fact, there's an attempt to relocate a Greek Orthodox church that was destroyed at 9/11. So a little research would clear up any misgivings about the state getting involved in that type of activity. It happens all the time.
Now, one of the candidates for governor has demanded that New York State use its power of eminent domain, take over the site and just block construction of the center. As governor, do you think there's a case to be made there that the state government should?
That is the most shocking lack of appreciation for our Constitution. Maybe we could do that if we were in Bosnia. But this is the United States of America. Eminent domain is a process of condemning land. You don't condemn land because you don't like the way people are using it. People have a right to express their religious freedoms under the First Amendment pretty much any way they want when it's on their property. But there are those who obviously would use this kind of situation to fundraise or politic or to just get a lot of attention. The reality is that I think those who are reasonable, who feel that the mosque should stay where it is, and those who would like to see it moved understand that they do have a right to be there.
Governor, very quickly, do you actually have a meeting set up? Is it in your appointment book to meet with the developers of the community center and mosque?
There was one last Monday, and that had to be postponed. There is not one currently, and there will only be a meeting if the people from the mosque agree to meet with us. We are not pressuring them or coercing them. We are just asking them, based on what happened on 9/11, that we get an opportunity perhaps to dialogue and have the kind of understanding that they say will exist when the mosque is built, but we could reach that understanding before the first brick is laid.
All right. Governor Patterson, I want to thank you for joining us. We're going to turn now to Brian Lehrer. He is host of WNYC's award-winning Brian Lehrer Show, and he's been asking his listeners to call in and share their opinions on this issue over the past few weeks. And happily, he is here in the studio with us this morning. So happy to have you here.
Good morning, Catherine.
Now, Governor Patterson has said that he can turn this controversy into a magic moment. Did you hear any magic in that conversation there?
Well, I'm really ambivalent about what the governor is doing. On the one hand, I think it's an affront to this apparently peace-loving imam. It's Patterson putting psychotherapy above the Constitution.
How so?
Well, he wants people to feel good, and yet maybe feel good at the expense of the constitutional right to locate a religious institution on private property if you obtain that property. But on the other hand, a compromise to move the center just a short ways away could be like the beer summit of Lower Manhattan and leave a lot of people understanding each other a little better if it's handled well.
A beer summit, that's kind of a faux pas when you think about it.
I guess
it. They,
so.
They no wouldn't beer, actually be beer.
We'll be no beer involved in this one.
No yeah. beer involved.
Okay,
in
especially during Ramadan,
metaphorical beer
yeah,
summit.
Yeah. So, can you give us sort of a clear summation of what you're hearing from people on the show? Because, you know, surveys are saying that New Yorkers are actually trending against the building of this community center and mosque.
Right. And 9/11 families are being too easily portrayed as opponents. I haven't seen a poll of 9/11 families, but I certainly have no problem getting calls on my show from people with connections to 9/11 on both sides. And some see it as a threat and an insult. Some see it as a kind of attempt at post-9/11 unity and promotion of anti-terrorism Islam that honors the victims' memory.
In fact, we have this tape from your show from Colleen Kelly, who is the co-founder of the September 11th Peaceful Tomorrows. She has an interesting perspective. Let's hear that.
I believe that the mosque is representing a much, much more moderate voice of Islam. I know Imam Faisal personally. I know his wife, Daisy Khan. They very courageously reached out to 9/11 families in 2002. To me, the mosque represents the voice of Islam that we all need to hear.
Colleen Kelly. Well, let's talk about the imam. Let's talk about where he comes from and who he actually is.
Or we can even talk about where he is this very week. He's been sent by the U.S. State Department on a tour of the Middle East to talk about the faith of Islam and how it's possible to be a moderate.
He has actually gone out to Muslim countries to do the same thing for the Bush administration as kind of a goodwill ambassador. A New York Times op-ed on him this week called his theology kind of the Deepak Chopra of Islam, because his Sufi brand of the religion is kind of mystical, one-worldy, new agey, and so clearly denounces all violence. Frankly, he seems like the kind of Muslim Osama bin Laden would probably want to kill.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you hear on the cable news channels that this would be some sort of terrorist command post or something like that. It sounds like that's as far away from the truth as possible.
Well, based on his history, it certainly is. I mean, one important thing is that they're not coming from outside somewhere to sort of colonize ground zero. Imam Faisal's congregation is already there. And let me say that again. They already have a mosque in that building. They are being asked to leave their current home by the opponents because they're asking to grow. Imam Faisal has had a mosque at another location in that same neighborhood since the 1980s. So I'm not exactly sure who Sarah Palin is to come and kick them out.
All right. Brian Lehrer, thank you so much for coming in and joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
It's a pleasure to see you here.